as we gather around the written word and listen to the spoken word, may we meet with the living word, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Last Sunday morning, I had the joy of visiting the young people's groups in the parish centre. I'd been at St Catherine's for their service, and quite often when I come back from there, there's still some time to go on this service, so I tend to pop in and see what the youngsters are doing and spend some time with them. It's really good. So I went into Pathfinders last Sunday morning, and they were in the middle of a conversation about the different ways that God can speak to us. They were talking about the Bible. They were talking about the Holy Spirit. They were talking about how God can nudge us through what other people say to us, can nudge us through our consciences. It was a really good conversation. And as I was listening to them, I thought it was appropriate to share something that happened to me recently. So I asked Caroline if I could, and she said I could. That was good. And so what I shared with them was that a couple of weeks ago, I'd been reading the Bible, as you do, and I'd come across a particular Bible verse that had spoken to me, had connected with me, and I felt, yeah, I need to hear that today. That was good. And a couple of days later, I received a card through the door. And it was a friend who drops me a line every now and then, but had felt prompted to drop me a card and encourage me, and had written inside it that very same Bible verse. So I shared with the Pathfinders that, in my experience, this is sometimes how God speaks to us. A combination of the Bible, of somebody else being obedient to a prompting of the Holy Spirit, and for the same message or the same Bible verse to come at me from different directions at about the same time. And that went down okay. Anyway, I got home from church, and I sat down at my desk, and I saw a postcard sitting next to my computer monitor. Now, when I'd been talking to the Pathfinders, I'd forgotten about this postcard, but I'd actually picked it up at a youth event that we hosted here at All Saints last month, about the same time as all these things were going on. And what Bible verse was printed on it? Yeah, exactly the same one. So that was three times in the same week, which had prompted me to keep the postcard. Later that afternoon, I sat down, starting thinking about my sermon for this morning. Now, I have a bit of a confession to make. One of the things I do when I prepare a sermon is to look back and see if I've preached on the passages before. Do you know what? I had. I have an All Saints Day sermon from 2014 based on the reading that Andrew read us from the Beatitudes, from Matthew's eyewitness account of Jesus' life and teaching. I had a read through and I thought, that's okay. I used some of that material, update it a bit, tweak it. That'll be fine sermon for this week. It'll free up some time to do some other stuff. Result. And I felt a little nudge. Maybe my conscience, maybe the Holy Spirit. And decided I had better check out what the other reading was. The one from John's letter. And I looked it up and I read this. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. 1 John 3, verse 1. The verse that I'd read in my Bible about a month ago. The verse a friend sent me in a card. The verse printed on the postcard at that youth event. The verse I told Pathfinders about last week. The first verse of the second reading of the lectionary for this year, for All Saints Day. Even then, I did feel like I faced a bit of a dilemma. It's pretty obvious, even to my thick skull, that God is wanting me personally to absorb the truth of this verse more deeply, more fundamentally. But that didn't necessarily mean that God was saying that I should be preaching on it this morning. One of the perils of being a preacher is that if we're not careful, sermons can just end up as our own little therapy sessions. But as I reflected on it, I thought it's worth the risk. It was, after all, set as one of the Bible readings for this morning. And I didn't have anything to do with that. It was there. And it's such an important truth for every Christian to hear, to reflect on, to deepen our trust in. I've been thinking quite a lot about love recently. Last week at St. Catherine's, I was preaching on that bit from Jesus' life where somebody goes to him and says, Rabbi, what are the most important commandments? And he says, love God, love your neighbours. Love God, love those around you. Here at All Saints, we have them on our banners around the building, our core values, three of them are all about love. Love of God, love of each other, love of those outside the church, love of our neighbours. It's all about love. Later on in this letter, in chapter 4, John goes on to teach about love. You could argue that all three of John's letters, pretty much, they're just teaching about love. If you want to know what love is, just go and read John's letters. Chapter 4 particularly, perhaps. He makes lots of different points, but these are perhaps the key ones. God is love. Love comes from God. We love because God first loved us. And taken together, all of these make the point that God is the source and definition of love. God is love. Love comes from God. We love because He loved us. God is the source and definition of love. Love doesn't come from, it's not defined by our hormones, our feelings, our attraction to someone, whether we like them. God is the source and definition of love. How long is a meter? Some of you are holding out your hands. Some of you are thinking, oh. We all have some idea, don't we? It's about this long, about that long. I don't know, something like that. If you wanted to be really precise, what would you need? A ruler or a tape measure, something like that. You could get it out and measure it. If you wanted to be really precise, apparently, this meter is now defined as a fraction of the speed of light. But before that definition was arrived at, if you wanted an exact meter, where did you have to go? Anybody know? France, thank you, Mike. You had to go to France to see the official meter. A specially milled block of platinum iridium alloy kept at the right temperature to be exactly a meter long. So what? Well, the point is this. If you want to use a meter to measure things, then you need a common definition of what a meter is, don't you? And you need that not to change, because otherwise you get into all kinds of trouble. If you want to know what love is, then you need to go back to the source, to the definition of love, to the measure of love. Back to God, who is love. John writes this, see what great love, see. Open your eyes, look, take notice, open your senses, see. This love is great, it is lavish, it is generous, it is overflowing, it is rich, it is golden. It fills our senses, our imaginations are overwhelmed, it is creative. God lavishes love on us. See it. See. And what is it that John particularly wants us to see? We are called children of God, for that is what we are. In John's first book, in his account of Jesus' life on earth, in the very first chapter in John 1, he writes this. To all who did receive Jesus, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Right at the foundation of John's understanding of who Jesus is, why Jesus came to earth is this idea that those who follow Jesus are the children of God, become the children of God. And that's picked up again in his third chapter of his gospel in John 3. We read of a conversation that Jesus had with a religious scholar called Nicodemus. Jesus tells Nicodemus this: no one can see the kingdom of God without being born again. Nicodemus is confused. You see, Nicodemus knows where babies come from, and he knows there is no going back. But Jesus explains to him that people need a spiritual rebirth to be born of the Spirit. And then John summarizes the conversation in what might be one of the most well-known verses in the Bible. He writes this in John 3:16. For God loved the world in this way, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God loved the world in this way, that he gave his one and only Son, as we remember at communion. It's not only John that teaches about this. Paul talks about it a lot as well in his letters to the churches in Rome, in Galatia, in Ephesus. He talks us about us being adopted into God's family, about us being heirs of the kingdom. In Romans 8, for instance, we read this: the Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. By the Holy Spirit we cry, Abba, Father. Now, we do have to notice that there is a difference. Paul tends to talk about being adopted into the family, and John tends to talk about being born into the family. Now, for us, that might seem like a big difference. My suspicion is that in the culture of the time when adoption was more common, it wasn't such a big difference. We do also have to remember that they're metaphors for what's actually going on in our relationship with God. None of it is a perfect fit. But despite that difference, what they have in common is far more important, much more important. They are both rooted in the love of God. They both include the work of the Holy Spirit. The coming of Jesus to live among us and die for us, they're there in both. Both affirm that because we are children in this family, we can call God Father. Because we are children in this family. See, this is what God's love looks like. It comes to us. It lays down life for us. Includes us in God's family. It fills us with the Holy Spirit. It gives us an inheritance, an everlasting inheritance that doesn't fade. It is lavish and generous. That's what love is. That's the measure of love. And it's as we receive this love, as we trust it, as we absorb it, as we overflow with it, that we're released to love others in the way that God loves us, with that laying down of life, with that going to people, with that including people. It's as we receive it and trust it that overflows to others. This is good news for all of us. I started off by saying that I wasn't 100% sure when I started preparing this that this was something God was wanting us all to reflect on, whether it was just for me. But one of the things that swayed me towards exploring it with us all this morning was that we're celebrating All Saints today. A day in which we celebrate those who have gone before in the faith, who've left us a legacy in faith. Perhaps we remember those who taught us the faith and now are in glory surrounding us, this great cloud of witnesses surrounding us and cheering us on and encouraging us. That's one aspect of All Saints, but there's another aspect. We are All Saints as a church family, but we are also all saints. Every single one of us who trusts and follows Jesus is a saint. Each and every single individual. We are all saints and we are all saints. We are made holy by Jesus' work on the cross. Jesus' work on the cross that expresses God's love for us. We are made children of God by that love. We are all children of God. Every single one of us who trusts and follows Jesus is a child of God, loved, cherished, and valued. So, as we celebrate All Saints, may we also believe and celebrate that we are all God's children. Amen.